That's exactly it, said Q-Tangle. He's sorcerer material, sure enough. You were right to bring him here. There was a thoughtful pause. Only, said Treacle.
Only what? Said Q-Tangle.
Only, what was it you understood? Said Treacle. That's what's bothering me. I mean, can you explain it?
How do you mean, explain?
Q-Tangle looked worried. What he keeps talking about, said Treacle, a hint of desperation in his voice. Oh, it's the genuine stuff, I know, but what exactly is it? Q-Tangle looked at him, his mouth open. Eventually he said,
Oh, that's easy. Magic fills the universe, you see, and every time the universe changes... No, I mean, every time magic is invoked, the universe changes. Only in every direction at once, do you see? And
he moved his hands uncertainly, trying to recognize a spark of comprehension in Treacle's face.
To put it another way, any piece of matter, like an orange, or the world, or...
A crocodile? Suggested Treacle.
Yes, a crocodile, or whatever, is basically shaped like a carrot.
I don't remember that bit, said Treacle.
I'm sure that's what he said, said Q-Tangle.
He was starting to sweat. No, I remember the bit where he seemed to suggest that if you went far enough in any direction, you would see the back of your head, Treacle insisted.
You sure he didn't mean someone else's head?
Treacle thought for a bit.
No, I'm pretty sure he said the back of your own head, he said.
I think he said he could prove it. They considered this in silence. Finally, Q-Tangle spoke very slowly and carefully.
I look at it like this, he said. Before I heard him talk, I was like everyone else. You know what I mean? I was confused and uncertain about all the little details of life. But now,
he brightened up,
while I'm still confused and uncertain, it's on a much higher plane, do you see? And at least I know I'm bewildered about the really fundamental and important facts of the universe.
Treacle nodded. I hadn't looked at it like that, he said, but you're absolutely right. He's really pushed back the boundaries of ignorance. There's so much about the universe we don't know. They both savoured the strange warm glow of being much more ignorant than ordinary people, who were ignorant of only ordinary things. Then Treacle said, I just hope he's all right. He's over the fever, but he just doesn't seem to want to wake up. A couple of servants came in with a bowl of water and fresh towels. One of them carried a rather tatty broomstick. As they began to change the sweat-soaked sheets under the boy, the two wizards left, still discussing the vast vistas of unknowingness that Simon's genius had revealed to the world. Granny waited until their footsteps had died away and took off her headscarf.
Damn thing, she said. Esk, go and listen at the door.
She removed the towel from Simon's head and felt his temperature. It was very good of you to come, said Esk, and you so busy with your work and everything. Granny pursed her lips. She pulled up Simon's eyelids and sought his pulse. She laid an ear on his xylophone chest and listened to his heart. She sat for some time quite motionless, probing around inside his head. She frowned. Is he all right? Said Esk, anxiously. Granny looked at the stone walls.
Drat this place, she said. It's no place for sick people.
Yes, but is he all right?
What?
Granny was startled out of her thoughts.
Oh, yes, probably, wherever he is.
Esk stared at her, and then at Simon's body.
Nobody's home, said Granny, simply.
What do you mean?
Listen to the child, said Granny. You'd think I taught her nothing. I mean his mind's wandering. He's gone out of his head.
She looked at Simon's body with something verging on admiration.
Quite surprising, really, she added. I never yet met a wizard who could borrow.
She turned to Esk, whose mouth was a horrified O.
I remember when I was a girl, old Nanny Anna